Good morning. Welcome, everyone, to Freedom Church. I want to say welcome to everyone watching online as well. I'm Pastor Eric, lead pastor here at Freedom Church. And I want to start, before we jump into today's message, how many of you have ever experienced something so good you had to tell somebody about it? Anybody? The rest of you, come see me after. We're going to help you. How many of you have ever seen, like, been to a really good restaurant? Anybody? How many of you have ever seen a really good movie that you should tell other people, go watch this, right? Or you got a really good deal or a discount on something. Many times when we experience something good, we want to tell other people. At bare minimum, we like it and we maybe repost it on social media. But ultimately, inside of us, we want to tell other people about good things that we've experienced, good places to eat, good movies to watch, good things that we get to experience. We want other people to experience those things as well. And when something is good, we talk about it. Yet sometimes the greatest news in the history of the world is something we're hesitant to talk about. The good news about Jesus Christ. The good news of the gospel. Most of us, we know God, right? We've experienced forgiveness. We've experienced his grace. We've experienced freedom in Christ. Yet we're most hesitant to talk about Jesus, where we'd much more likely talk about a movie, a restaurant, or a deal we found online. Why is that? Because many of the times there's fear that creeps in, there's feeling unequipped, or maybe just we don't know what we're supposed to do and how. Just like that bumper listing out all those things, but what if I'm not a missionary? What if I'm not a pastor? What if I don't know how? What if I'm afraid? I'm going to tell you to do it afraid anyways. Amen? Paul writes this. He says the gospel, this is the title for the message, the gospel is too good to keep quiet, right? That's what we're going to reiterate all throughout today's message. If you get one thing, remember the gospel is too good to keep quiet. And Paul writes in the book of Romans, he says in verse 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Paul was unashamed of the gospel, so much so that he had to tell as many people as he could. Paul wasn't embarrassed by Jesus. He wasn't intimidated by the culture. He wasn't afraid of what people thought or their opinions of him. He knew something, that the gospel has the power to change lives. And when we experience something that's life-changing, especially something that can change people's life for eternity, we cannot keep it to ourselves. So the next 4 weeks, we're going to be unpacking how do we share the good news. Today, focusing on what is the gospel, primarily in the book of Romans. Next week, we're going to be seeing some testimonies and stories from the Bible and how you can practically share your story, your faith. Each week, I plan to give you very practical ways that you can share the gospel, share the good news, and take away some of the stigma, some of the fear, and I want to encourage you and empower you that you can share the good news. Every one of us can share about a restaurant, about a movie, about some deal. We can certainly share the greatest news that Jesus came and died and rose again for life and life eternally. So before we jump into our first text, our primary text, let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for this day. God, I thank you for everyone in this room, everyone watching online. God, I thank you that what you are doing for each and every one of us, what you've already done, God, that the good news of Jesus Christ has changed and transformed most of our lives. And God, I pray that your word today would go forth. God, help us hear from you, have your heart. God, that we know there are people in our lives who don't know you, who don't know the good news of what you've done for them. And God, I pray that we would leave here today different than the way we came in. God, that we'd be more on mission, more focused on sharing the good news with as many people as we encounter. And God, I pray you'd receive all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So today, as I mentioned, we're going to be primarily in the book of Romans. We're going to be looking at several different verses and passages, but I want to give you a little context. Paul wrote to the church in Rome. So the book of Romans, as we have the Bible, it's broken up in chapters and verses. Now, most of the Bible wasn't written in chapters. None of it was written in chapters and verses. It was written as letters. So the book of Romans is actually a letter from the Apostle Paul to the church in Rome. Now, the church in Rome was made up of Jewish Christians, people who had Jewish background, who began following Jesus, and Gentile Christians, meaning people who didn't have religious background, they didn't understand the Jewish ways, but yet they were followers of Jesus too. So Paul is writing to this mix of people in Rome, the Church of Rome, so it's been a vast, diverse number of people. So I want you to catch that, because he's not just writing to the pastor of Rome, of the Roman church. He's not just writing as he did in some of the other letters. He's writing to the people, to the saints, to all of the people in Rome. So all the different mix of people there. He starts in verse 1. He says, "This letter is from Paul, a slave of Jesus, of Christ Jesus, chosen by God to be an apostle and sent out to preach his," what's that word? "Preach his good news. God promised this," what's that say? "Good news long ago through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures." So Paul is acknowledging who he is. He's like, hey guys, this is Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus. Now that word slave is a bondservant. He says, I belong to Jesus now. Now this same Paul, many of us know of Paul. He's like, yeah, he's the greatest guy in the New Testament aside from Jesus. So he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. He was amazing. He's a super apostle. He's like a super saint guy. But Paul started as Saul, a terrorist of the Christians. He was persecuting the Christians. He was arresting the Christians. He was helping them get them executed. And this same Paul, now this Saul, now his Greek Roman name, his Greek name became Paul. He says, I now belong to Jesus. Now catch this. If you were one of those people who Paul had arrested, and Paul's saying, stop following Jesus. Jesus is wrong. What you're doing is blasphemy. And then you meet Paul a few years later, and he goes, hey guys, follow Jesus. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the... I'd be like, what were you doing? You know the difference in him persecuting and harming Christians to now he's the number one promoter of Christianity? What happened in the middle was Jesus. Jesus transformed Saul's life where he now becomes Paul. He's called Paul the rest of his life. He's a bondservant of Christ. The number one promoter and probably arguably did the most work for the early church was this man who had a past. He didn't let that define him, but now here he is following the command of Jesus to go and preach the good news, to tell the good news of what has happened. What's the good news? In verse 3, he says the good news is about his son, about God's son, Jesus. He says, in his earthly life, he was born into King David's family line, and he was shown to be the Son of God when he was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. He is Jesus Christ our Lord. He makes it crystal clear at the start of his letter, hey, the good news that I'm called to preach, the good news that we're all supposed to share, it's about Jesus. That man who was born, and this line in verse 3, the earthly life, he was born into King David's family line. We may say, what's the big deal? He's speaking to the Jewish people especially. They would have been looking for the Messiah, the Lord, the Savior, who's going to come in the line of King David's family line. That was very important as a messianic, something from the past, prophesying into the future, that this is how you're going to know who the Messiah is. He's going to be born into King David's family line. Now, the other Gentile, non-Jewish people probably would have been like, okay, that's cool. Like, he's a real guy. They knew who he was, but he was shown to be the Son of God when he was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. How do we know Jesus truly is the Messiah? How do we know he truly is the Son of God? He predicted his death, burial, and resurrection, and then he pulled it off. I'm like, talk about Copperfield, Houdini, whatever magicians. Like, none of those guys predicted their death, burial, and resurrection and pulled it off. Only Jesus could do such a thing. Only God, in and through the flesh, could choose to lay down his life, to sacrifice himself, and then come back from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul says it very clearly, he is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, what is the gospel, right? The gospel is literally translated to mean good news, right? There's many things that are good news. You got the job, you got accepted to school, you got a raise, your wife is pregnant, right? There's a lot of things that are good news, but the gospel, so literally just means good news. So any good news could be called gospel in a literal sense. However, when we talk about the gospel, we're talking about this word, this euangelion. It's actually used 12 times in the book of Romans, And it's actually a political and social term that was used throughout history to declare, was it for royal announcements and declaring victories. So what would happen is, you know, the king, say King David, he'd send his army out to fight another battle, a kingdom. And when they would win, they'd defeat another enemy. They'd come back and they'd share the good news that they conquered the enemy. It was a royal announcement. Whenever a new king would be appointed, they would send out the good news saying, hey, there's a new king. This is announcement, a royal announcement, a victory declaration. So the gospel in early Christians, they adopted the gospel as this is a royal announcement. A man born in the royal line of David. A man conquered and defeated all the enemies of sin, of death, and the grave, and he overcame them all. So the gospel is a declaration of victory. It's a royal announcement. It's not just good advice. It's not self-help. It's not try harder and be a better person. It's news, right? Something happened. What happened? Jesus Christ came to rescue sinners. He died on the cross for our sins. He was buried and rose from the dead 3 days later. He offers forgiveness, freedom, and eternal life to all who believe in him. That, ladies and gentlemen, is good news. Amen? But what makes it such good news is partly due to the bad news that it defeated. Okay, so to have really good news, oftentimes there's bad news that had to be overcome. So what's the bad news? Romans 3:23 says this, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Every one of us has a problem. We all have sin. It's actually the one thing, if you think about every single person on the planet, doesn't matter their geographic location, their socioeconomic class, the language they speak, their education, every single person on the planet has sin. It's one thing that every person has in common. That's the bad news. We have this problem. We've all sinned. What do we do about it? Well, Romans 6:23 says this, "The wages of sin is death." It gets worse. Not only do we all have sin, the problem, the payment, the consequence for our sin is death. Now, death is simply the absence of life. So think about it. If God is life, sin separates us from God and we have death. We're separated from life. If God is light, God is light, we're separated from God, we're in darkness. When God is joy and peace and patience and love and kindness, separation from God is all the other things. Sadness, depression, wickedness, evil. It separates, sin separates us from God. And the wages of our sin is death. There has to be a payment for our sin. A little bit of good news. It's the best news. The free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We deserve death. We deserve judgment. We deserve to be separated from God. But God offers life. God offers forgiveness. He offers a way for us to come back to him and have this free gift. It literally says a free gift of God. You cannot earn it. You can't do anything to earn or pay for this gift. It's a gift that's freely given by God. Jesus did for us what we could never do for ourselves. We could never pay for our sins. We could, even if we wanted to lay down our life, it's still not enough to pay for the consequences of our sins. It's why it's called grace. What is grace? Grace is God's undeserved favor toward unworthy people. Truth hurts sometimes to get us to where we need to get to. The truth is, all of us are unworthy people. None of us are good enough. We don't deserve God's love, his forgiveness, his mercy. And I'm not saying this to beat you up. It's the truth of how we get to understanding the grace of God. So grace is something that God gives us. He gives undeserved favor, undeserved merit. He gives us this favor when we don't deserve it. Contradict that or counter that with his mercy. Mercy is when he extend something, he doesn't give us something we do deserve, right? We deserve punishment and judgment and separation, yet he offers forgiveness and life and acceptance in a way back to him. So yes, we're unworthy, but God's grace gives us that undeserved favor. 26 times we see in the book of Romans that Paul uses this word grace. Grace changes everything. Grace isn't a license to just go on doing whatever we want. Grace is an empowerment. God gives us his grace so that we can live for him. Romans 5:8, I believe, sums us up the best. It says, well, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That is good news. That is the gospel. It's good news that we cannot earn it. We can't do anything to pay for it. And while we were sinners, Christ died for us. You know why the gospel is so powerful? It's because it's an action. It's not just something that happened, but it's an action. God demonstrates his love by sending his son Jesus to die for us. Just like love. Love is not just a feeling. Love isn't just a word. It's an action. The gospel has power not just to make us feel better, but to change our lives. The gospel moves from dead things to living things. The gospel takes people trapped in sin and gives them freedom. It takes people who are in despair and gives them hope. And Paul is saying, when Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, he wasn't saying he's confident in himself. If anybody could say this, Paul says this. He actually says it in Hebrews. He goes, I'm the Hebrew of Hebrews. I'm from the tribe of Benjamin. He lists out his resume and said, of all the things that I could be proud of, my PhD in Pharisee school, he says, all that's considered garbage. Nothing compared to the knowledge that I know Jesus. That trumped all of his background, all of his education, all of his understanding of his training. He says, I know Jesus now, and the knowledge of the good news of the gospel of Jesus is what I'm confident in. That's what he was saying. I'm not ashamed in that. He was confident in the good news about Jesus. But Paul, he faced immense persecution. He was beaten, imprisoned, whipped, tortured, stoned, and eventually he died for being a follower of Jesus. We don't face that in the United States, but we do have some pressure. Pressure that says, keep your faith quiet. Keep your religion private. Don't talk about Jesus. You're being too extreme. If you talk about Jesus with people, you offer to pray for somebody. People, our culture and our society is often putting that pressure to say, keep that to yourself. You do you. You and Jesus are cool. Just don't talk about it to me. And many of the times we put that in our minds thinking that's what everybody thinks. I've found the exact opposite more often. People want to know about Jesus. People want to know truth. People want to hear good news. We get bad news all the time, 24/7, right? Well, how about some good news? People want to hear some good news. And the best news possible is that we have sin, we have this problem, somebody paid for our sin, and now we can live a life of freedom in Christ. I believe there are people waiting. I know there are people waiting because I talk to them. I had a text conversation this past week. I've talked to a dozen people probably or so over the last couple months who say, am I allowed to come to your church? They're waiting for somebody to invite them because they don't know if they're allowed to come. I've had people come and visit and they say, I'll come back if I'm invited. And I say, you're welcome to come every single week. You don't have to be invited. However, that's many people's mindsets that you are welcome. If you're here today, you're welcome and I'm inviting you to come back. This is your invitation and it's ongoing. There's no secret times that we meet. It's 9 and 11 a.m. until we add a third service, right? Until we make room for more people. But the reality is many people are waiting for somebody to invite them, waiting for somebody to share the good news. You know, my life for 25 years before I knew, found Christ, before Christ found me, I don't recall ever somebody coming to me and trying to share the good news with me. I was lost as you could be lost, living a selfish, sinful lifestyle. And I don't recall, maybe some people did, maybe they tried and I rejected, but either way, I don't remember people saying, hey, Eric, let me talk to you. The way you're living, the things you're doing, the way you're drinking, the way you're posting things online, the way you're doing, living your life, that's not what's best for you. There's a better way to live. I don't recall ever anybody trying to do that with me personally. Maybe they did, I don't think they did, and I think, what if somebody would come to them? What if God's calling you to be that person, to go to somebody in your life, not to call them out for their sin, but to say, hey, there's a better way of living, living a life of freedom in Christ. Most people know they have sin. Most people know when they're living in despair, they're living just trying to get by, surviving each day, and they're waiting for us to go talk to them. They're waiting for us to start a conversation. The gospel is too good to keep quiet. There's this Old Testament prophecy in Isaiah that talks about Jesus. So Old Testament, there's historical books, there's the book of the law, there's poetry, and there's minor prophets and major prophets. One of the major prophets, which just means it had a lot more content, is the book of Isaiah. So Isaiah, he's prophesying 700 years before Jesus, talking about the Messiah to come. Like, these are going to be ways that you know the Messiah has come, the Savior has come. This is how you're going to know. He's actually talking about Jesus. So I'm going to read through these couple of verses. Verse 1 says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor." Again, this is written about Jesus 700 years before. "He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted, to proclaim that captives will be released and prisoners will be freed. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come, and with it, the day of God's anger against their enemies. To all who mourn in Israel, he will give a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair. In their righteousness, they will be like great oaks that the Lord has planted for his own glory." This prophecy speaking about Jesus, about the Messiah, is actually the very prophecy that Jesus kicks off early in his public ministry. He's in his hometown. It was customary. He'd get up, his turn to get up and read from the scrolls, read the Bible of the Old Testament they had at the time. He says, Jesus opened the Isaiah, found this place. He reads these verses, and then he sits down and says, "Today this has been fulfilled." The people were shocked. They're like, "What do you mean? Like, you're saying you're the Messiah? Like, you're this guy who brings good news to the poor, who comforts the brokenhearted, who sets the captives free, the prisoners will be released? You're saying you're that guy?" Jesus is like, "Yes, that's me. This has been fulfilled." That Jesus coming to the earth and living his life, dying on the cross, being buried and rose again, he brings a crown of beauty for ashes. He brings joyous blessing instead of mourning. He brings festive praise instead of despair. That's the gospel. That's the good news. Your ashes, the things that have been burned up in your life, your mourning, your sadness, your loss, your despair can be turned into a crown of beauty, of joyous blessing and festive praise. That's the good news. God turns your past and makes it into something better for the future. That's the good news. But in Christ is the best way we see this come to pass. Jesus is saying he is the good news. Notice some of the wording, though. Jesus said that he proclaims the good news. He proclaims the captives to be released, that we are called to speak up. There's actually a quote, I quote it often, actually, that St. Francis of Assisi, and he says, "Preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words." And I think that's great. We live our lives as a very loud testimony, but I also believe we're supposed to use our words. And the problem comes when we use the words, we say all the right things, but we're not living it, then people are turned away. So for us to share the good news, we got to be living the good news, right? That's not perfect, but real, authentic, that we live out the good news that we once were lost and now we're found. We once used to be like Saul and against God. Now we are for God in all the right ways. God wants to use your voice. And actually, he asked these rhetorical questions in Romans chapter 10, verse 14, 15. And right before this, he says, "Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard?" So think about this. How will they believe if they never hear? And how can they hear if no one speaks? Someone has to tell them. And maybe God put you in somebody's life to be the person to tell them the good news. It's not just about the pastor. It's not just the evangelist. It's not just the radio station. It takes all of us to share the good news, for people to call upon the Lord. You don't need to be a pastor. You don't need to be a preacher. You don't need to know everything. You know what you need? You need to know Jesus. You need to be willing. You need to start the conversation. Start the conversation as simple as, hey, what are your thoughts on Jesus? Hey, what do you know about Christianity? Hey, have you ever read the Bible? Start the conversation and let the Holy Spirit lead that conversation. If you have the right heart, you truly want what's best for people, I believe God will use you to point people to Him. But don't let fear steal someone's opportunity to hear the good news. One of the biggest enemies of evangelism, of us sharing the good news, I believe, is fear. It's not that you don't want to. I think we're afraid to. And listen, I'm up here admitting I still get afraid to share the good news. You're like, what? I'm at Home Depot and walking down the aisle and I run into somebody and I'm like, I just feel like I'm supposed to tell them about Jesus. And sometimes I hold back. Sometimes I'm too busy to take some time because I got to hurry up and get something done. Sometimes I just go, what if they think I'm weird? What if they... These thoughts go through my mind. I'm saying that hopefully to encourage you. If you're afraid, it's okay. Do it afraid anyways. What's the worst that can happen? They say, you're a weirdo, get away from me. Okay, go about your day, right? Don't force it, but start the conversation. Here's a key that helped me so much. You don't have to win every conversation. The win is starting the conversation. I've never won somebody to Jesus by arguing theology with them. In fact, I encourage you not to argue theology with people, especially lost people you're trying to reach. Share your story. In fact, we're going to do a quick little exercise. I need a volunteer, and I'm going to need that microphone, Jared. Somebody here who would like to come up on stage, even if you don't want to, if you're willing to, come up on stage, and we're going to do a little exercise. I want to show you how easy it is to share your faith. Now, I didn't prompt anybody with this, so hey, Chase, why don't you come on up here? He looked like he was like, call on me. No, he was saying the opposite. No icon. Let's welcome Chase up to the stage. So Chase is here. Now, I want you to think about your favorite restaurant. Okay, favorite place that you would go to eat. And you're going to try to convince us all to go there. Don't do it yet, but think of your favorite place. You got it? Yeah. All right, tell us your favorite restaurant, one of your top restaurants.
So it's in Lowe's. It's in Altoona.
In
it's
Lowe's.
An iconic foot-long hot dog place. One of a kind, very distinct. I've gone there since I was a kid whenever I go to visit my grandma. And yeah.
So in Lowe's, do you know where they source their meats from? It's in a hot dog place, right? You don't know where they get them from. Do you know if they have like organic, grass-fed, grass-finished beef?
It's somewhere local. I know that.
Okay. You don't know that though? No. Do you know if they have like gluten-free buns?
Yes. Now they do.
They do?
Yeah.
Okay, that's good to know.
Very old school, so not so recently.
So I went to this restaurant one time, and I had a really bad experience. So I don't know if I should check out this in Lowe's. I had a bad experience before. I had a hot dog, got me sick to my stomach. I don't think I should go to this place. Why should I go to this in Lowe's?
Have you had it before?
No.
It's worth trying.
Okay. It's a good argument. Do you know if they happen to have somebody who works there named Alex?
No idea, no.
Oh. Okay. Do you know if they have Diet Dr. Pepper?
They do.
They do. That's good. Yeah. It's really good to know. do you know how long they've been in existence? No.
Like
okay.
80 years, I think.
80 years. That's a long time. Okay. Good track record. They didn't get shut down. Now, let me...
They did burn down at one point.
Okay.
They rebuilt.
So your favorite... So why should I go to Enlos? Again, tell everyone, why should they go to Enlos? There's no... Paid this. He was not paid to do this, but maybe you'll get some kickbacks.
Well, I mean, I think it's a great spot. It's in today's time. It's reasonably priced. Okay, I think you can sit down with the family, get a good meal, have some good conversations. It's iconic. You don't really have many hot dog places around here. Well, it's not around here.
What do you love most about it? What's your favorite thing there?
Memories. Yeah.
Cool.
Personally, but it's hard to sell someone on that. I think.
No, that's
for
good.
A restaurant.
Personal experience, right?
Yeah.
I don't have those memories there, so it's a personal experience. Now, yeah. It sounds silly. There's some obscure questions, but many people, we do the same thing. We're talking about the gospel. We're talking about good news. So, you know, why should somebody come to church? What would you say?
Oh, Jesus Christ saved my life.
There you go.
I'm a completely different person now. I've been opened up into many blessings I would have never found without God. So.
And when somebody asks theological questions or eschatological questions or about tribulation or end times, even if Chase could answer those, many times those are questions that people ask that we get scared of answering, like, do they have Diet Dr. Pepper? Do they have a server named Alex? It's like, really, that stuff, it matters, but it really doesn't matter to why he's going, to why you should come to Jesus, to why you should share your faith. His life has been radically changed by Jesus. His life is no longer the way he used to live. He's now living differently, right? Yeah. I'm not putting words in your mouth.
I know
your story. So that's what he gets to share, and that's powerful to anybody. Why should someone come to Freedom Church? Why should somebody give Jesus a chance? His life has changed. That's why. And that Jesus can do that same thing for you. So, Chase, great job. Thank you so much. Let's give him a hand. My hope is that that helps you just focus on, don't get caught up in all those questions, the what ifs, the fears. He had no problem getting up here and talking about in-laws. Most of you have no problem talking about your favorite restaurant and why you love going there and the best thing that you love to order and your go-to, and they walk in, they know your name. Like all those types of things, we don't have any problem with that. But then when it comes to, hey, will you share Jesus? You're like, oh, I never went to school for that. I'm not trained in that. I don't know how to do that. Here's what you do. You take your where you were, what happened, and Jesus, how did he change your life, and now how is your life better? And I'm actually going to dig into that very practically next Sunday, and I want to help you understand how to better share your story. But the reality is, you can start with, I was lost, Jesus found me, now I'm living a better life. And Jesus can do that for you too. Why don't you come with me to church next Sunday? It's as simple as that to start that conversation. Now, when they ask other questions or they have bad experiences, the reality is many people have had bad experiences with church. And I'm not excusing or condoning any of that stuff. I'm saying, no, that's wrong. You should not. I'm sad that you had those experiences. But just like you have a bad experience at one restaurant, doesn't mean you give up restaurants altogether, right? You go to a different one. Yes, you've had a bad experience at a church. Go to a different one. And thankfully, you're all in a different church right now. And I pray that you continue to go to a good, healthy, life-giving church. Our responsibility is not to convert people. It's to share the good news. We don't save anybody. Jesus does. We don't transform people's hearts. The Holy Spirit does that. Our job is to simply share the good news, to point people to Jesus. And every time you do that, you're participating in God's mission. So the gospel is too good to keep quiet. People need to know that there is forgiveness, there is hope, there is redemption, that God's love is available to them and they don't have to earn it. To be honest, we live in a very religious area, a lot of Catholicism, Orthodox, other backgrounds that is really catered on you need to earn and do good things, pray certain prayers, do certain things in order to be saved. When the Bible says Jesus died for you while you were a sinner, and the gospel is the power of God for salvation, I want you to imagine something with me. Imagine if every single one of us here identified one person. Who's one person who's maybe close to you, maybe far from God. Maybe you're like, I don't really know where they are. Sometimes you can tell, sometimes you can't. But if somebody who's close to you say, I don't think they go to church. I don't think they're a Christian. Think of that person. What if, now imagine we prayed for that person every single day. Say, God, remove whatever problems or barriers that are holding them back. God, I pray that you draw them to yourself. And God, I pray that they would be saved. Simple as that, every day we pray for that one person. And then you start a conversation with them. Maybe simply send them a text, invite them. Hey, I've been going to this church in Murrysville on 22, right next to the beer warehouse. You know, use that in. Why don't you come sit with me? Would you mind coming next week with me? And start the conversation. My prayer is that Freedom Church would not just talk about Jesus on Sundays, but we would be a church that talks about Jesus Monday through Saturday. And the church is not the building. The church is you. It's us. It's the people. We are the church, and it has to go beyond just Sunday. So today, Jesus still offers forgiveness, freedom, and a new life. In Romans 10, verse 9, Paul writes, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. the best news, one of the best news for me, because when I came to Jesus, I was at the lowest of lows. I was in the deepest pit of myself. I didn't have to get cleaned up before I came to Jesus because I never could have cleaned myself up, right? But Jesus washes us clean. Jesus cleans us up. He does the change and the work in us. And if you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, today can be that day. It starts with believing in your heart, confessing with your mouth. Now, that belief is not just in your mind. It says belief in your heart. And that belief, it's a faith step. So the word faith, used 39 times in the book of Romans, it comes from the Greek word pistis, which is a belief, a trust, and reliance on God. Faith is something that we can't see. In other times in Hebrews describes faith as the assurance of things hoped for, yet we cannot see them. Right? It's the things that you can't prove God exists to people, but you can show them evidence. Your story of life change, your testimony is evidence of God's love, of God's mercy, of God's presence in and through your life. And when I ask people to take a step of faith, I'm not saying just trust me. I'm saying trust the evidence. Look at the evidence of what God has created, all the things in biology and the world, and then listen to all these stories, study the scriptures. And when you look at all of the evidence, it only makes logical sense to put your faith, your belief, your trust, and your dependence in God alone, because nobody else can save your soul. Nobody else can redeem your life like the one who came and died, was buried, and rose from the dead. That's what it means to take a step of faith, to trust in Him, not blindly, but based on the evidence. And the evidence is insurmountable. So what I shared with you, those several verses, is what's known as the Romans Road to Salvation. It's a very practical way for you to share the gospel with people. So you can take a picture of this, you can write these down, there's some variations of it, you can look it up online. I want to encourage you, if you can get a hold of this, this is a simple way to talk to somebody, say, hey, we've all sinned. Have you ever sinned? 100% of the people in the world have sinned, whether they realize it or not. They've done wrong things. They've done bad things. People feel bad for the bad things they've done. The wages of sin is death. Hey, well, there's consequences to our actions. Most people would say, understand, yes, there's consequences. Yet Christ died for sinners. God loves you so much, Christ died for you. If you believe and confess that Jesus is Lord, and you call upon the Lord, you will be saved. That's not something I came up with. That's what the Bible says. Now, a little tip I encourage you is sometimes I don't reference the Bible and quote the scriptures, because most people who don't read the Bible or don't believe the Bible, they don't care what Romans 6:23 is, or they have no idea what you're talking about. But the truth of all have sinned, the wages of sin is death, Christ died for sinners, believe and confess Jesus is Lord, and call upon the Lord and you will be saved. Those are true, whether you quote where they're from or not. Those truths stand on their own. So this Romans Road to Salvation, using the book of Romans, you can walk people. I've walked people from death to life through the power of the Holy Spirit. People have given their lives to Jesus by walking this out, starting with, we have to acknowledge our sin. We are not a church that says we're going to skim over sin. We have to address our sin. We have to address the reason Jesus needed to die on the cross was because every single one of us needed a payment for our sin. I'm going to end with where we started, Romans 1, verse 16. Paul says, I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Gentile. In verse 17, he says, this good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As the scriptures say, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. It takes faith. It takes a belief and a trust, not just acknowledging God, but putting your trust, putting your reliance and your dependence on Jesus Christ. That's what makes us right standing with him. It's not what we do. It's what he's already done for us. I don't believe any of us would say that we're ashamed of Jesus. But can we make it personal and really say this for ourselves? I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus. I'm personally not ashamed of what Jesus has done for me. I'm not ashamed of the cross. I'm not ashamed of his word. I'm not ashamed of his name. And I'm going to tell as many people as I can the good news, because people need to hear it. Someone needs hope. Someone needs forgiveness. Someone needs freedom. Every single person needs Jesus. Let's be a church that speaks up. Let's be a church that is unashamed, because the gospel is too good to keep quiet. Will you please stand to your feet? I want to pray over each of you as we get ready to close. Father, we are grateful for your grace and your mercy. God, I thank you for the cross, that the grave is empty. We declare that gospel, the royal announcement that Jesus Christ has overcome sin and death. And God, we thank you. We praise you, God, that we can have new life because of your gospel. That it's not just words, it's not just a message, but it's the power of you for salvation. And today, God, I pray that you take away our fear. God, I pray we let go of any fears that we have, any fear of judgment, fear of people's opinions, fear of people pleasing, or worried about doing what other people want us to do, and simply be able to say what Paul said: we are servants of yours. We're a slave to you, Jesus. We belong to you. That we care more about what you think of us than what people think of us. God, I pray you'd remove all fear and replace it with boldness. God, that you transform the way we see people. God, the way we see our coworkers, our neighbors, our friends, and our family. God, we would realize every single person needs Jesus. I pray, God, you'd give us the courage to do something about it. God, give us the opportunity to have a conversation this week. God, give us the courage to share our story. God, give us the boldness to invite somebody next Sunday. God, give us the compassion to listen and care for people. God, I pray we'd slow down. I'm speaking to myself. God, help me slow down throughout my week to take time for just one person. God, may you give us those opportunities. God, may we step into those opportunities with boldness and courage, not in ourselves, but in you. God, I pray Freedom Church would be a church that is unashamed of the gospel. And right now, I just ask that you'd bow your heads, close your eyes. Maybe you're here today and you've never surrendered your life to Jesus. Maybe you've been coming to church and you've heard about Jesus. Maybe you believe in who he is or what the events have been said about him. But today, Jesus is calling you to surrender your life, not to religion, not to Freedom Church as an organization, but he's calling you to a relationship with him. He sent his son to die for you so that your sins could be forgiven, that you could walk as a new creature in Christ Jesus. Today, forgiveness is available. Freedom is available. A new life is available, and you don't have to earn it. You don't have to clean yourself up first. Come as you are right now today. If you're willing to say, Jesus, I need you. Forgive me for my sin, and I surrender my life to you. I invite you right now to repeat after me. Say, I confess I have sinned. I turn from my sin. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, forgive me. I surrender my life to you now. I call on you as Lord of my life. I belong to you from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you just made that decision, you prayed that prayer, you felt it, you believe and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, the Bible says you will be saved. But you should take next steps. You should take a step of getting connected to learn how important your next steps are as a new follower of Jesus. So the way you can do that, you can take your phone, tap it to the card on the seat back in front of you. You can fill out a connection card or on our website. And Jared's actually going to give you some other opportunities as well for how you can get connected more and stay connected to the good news of Jesus. So, church, let's welcome Jared. Come on up to the stage. You guys can be seated. He has a couple quick announcements.
Thank you so much, Pastor Eric. And yeah, we got some wonderful, wonderful opportunities for those of us maybe for the very first time putting our trust in Jesus, and even further equipping for us who've been walking with Jesus but desire to continue to be bold in our faith, to share the good news with others. First and foremost, next Sunday, immediately following the second service, we have what we call our Next Steps class. This is a class designed and tailored to help you discover your unique gifting in God, how God has wired and designed you to make an impact in your world, that you can step out in boldness and share your faith. Also have an opportunity to learn more about Freedom Church, why God has put us here. I would encourage you to take out your phone and get signed up for next week. There is food and childcare provided, so we just want to be prepared to host you for next Sunday, a great, great way to get equipped and further plugged in here at Freedom Church. And perhaps you just made the decision or recently made the decision to follow Jesus, to begin that relationship with him. We have an opportunity coming up on Sunday, August 30th for water baptisms. This is a great practical way to share your faith, to share your testimony, what Jesus has done in your life publicly before your church family. In public, declaring in front of all of us as we celebrate with you what Jesus has done for you. That when you're dunked under the water, your old life in Christ has been buried. And as you rise up, you have a new life, a new relationship with Jesus that you get to live out. So maybe you were baptized as a baby even, and you want to make a personal decision here and now. Many different opportunities and walks of life that I think this is applicable for you. If you have any questions, we'd be happy to answer them, or you can scan the QR code and get signed up for water baptisms on Sunday, August 30th. It's going to be a great and awesome time. And last but certainly not least, another opportunity we have to demonstrate our faith. I want everybody to take out your cell phone. We're going to do a church exercise together, do some jumping jacks and some sit-ups. No, just take out your cell phone. Won't be that intense. Everybody has a cell phone. I don't take a picture of me. My wife is like aiming the camera at me. This is not. Get out of the way. I want you to take out your cell phone. I want you to scan that QR code. What it's going to do is going to take you to a link on the church website where you can follow different social media platforms that we have out there, whether it be Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. And really what I want to stir us and encourage us to do in applying what we just heard is take a moment throughout the week this week and simply share a post. Pastor Eric shared a lot of Bible, a lot of basic truth on who Jesus is. This could be an opportunity for you to share your faith and to get it out there. So I encourage you to scan that QR code, follow the church media platform this week, and there will be different reels and sermon excerpts that you can just quick and hit share. And just to stay in touch throughout the week, I don't know about you, but I'm quick to forget pretty easily. So it's just nice even for me personally to have those reminders from the sermon throughout the week there as well. If everybody could please stand to your feet, I'm going to pray. Whenever I'm finished, you are dismissed. Jesus, we are so grateful. Thank you, God, that you are not ashamed of us, that in the midst of our sin, in the midst of our helplessness, God, when we were lost, when we were blinded, we'd even know we needed a Savior, Lord God, that you weren't ashamed of us first, that you loved us and you laid down your life for us and you gave all for us, Lord. Help us, Father, to respond just with sincere surrender, with thankfulness and boldness, Jesus, not being ashamed of you. Lord, I thank you that you give us opportunities every single day that we can make an impact for eternity. Your Holy Spirit in us and with us, transforming and empowering others to know that they themselves can also be forgiven, can also be free, can also walk with security in eternity. God, I ask that you open our eyes this week, open doors and avenues for us to share our faith, whether it be sharing a reel or a post on Facebook or Instagram, or maybe a conversation we get to strike up with a coworker. God, I ask that your Holy Spirit would make us sensitive and ready to these divine opportunities as you desire to work in us and through us. And I thank you that we will be transformed as a result, that we would take part in a special place of your heart as we see more and more people come to you. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen and amen. Have an awesome week, everyone.